Turn, please, to the book of Judges. Judges, please. Chapter 5. Now, I know that probably people have been hearing a little bit too much these days of battles in Israel, but we're going to look at one particular case of a early conflict that took place in Israel, and we'll pick up in chapter 5 after the battle has been completed, and we'll hear the song of Deborah and Barak. Chapter 5 of Judges, verse 1. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes, I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. The clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel." Verse 9. "My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak ye that ride on white asses, that sit in judgment and walk by the way. They that are delivered from the noise of the archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts towards the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. Then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. Out of Ephraim there was there a root of them against Amalek. After thee, Benjamin, among thy people. Out of Machir came down the governors, and out of Zebulun they that handle the pen of the writer. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. For the divisions of Reuben there was great thoughts of heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleating of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben there were great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. And why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeopardized their lives unto the death in the high places on the field. The kings came and fought. They fought the kings of Canaan in Tanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away, that ancient river, the river Kishon. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then were the horse hoofs broken by means of the prancings of their mighty ones. Curse ye, Meraz, saith the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above the women in the tent." Verse 30. "Have they not sped?" This is now the mother of Sisera speaking. "Have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey? To every man a damsel or two? To Sisera a prey of divers colors? A prey of divers colors of needlework? Of divers colors of needlework on both sides? Meat for the necks of them that take the spoil? So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth down in his might." And the land had rest for 40 years. Trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. This is a remarkable song based on a remarkable experience in the history of the children of Israel. They had come into the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan lay before them, and they'd been given instruction as to which tribe was to go into which area. And some of the tribes had been successful in driving the enemies out. In fact, the Lord had given them help in driving out the enemies. But it came to this large area in the middle of the country. the valley of Jezreel. And they had not been successful in driving out the Canaanites. In fact, the Canaanites had a very strong hold on this region. It was a region which would stretch from in the west, the Mount Carmel, over to almost the Jordan River. And in a north-south direction, it would have stretched from Megiddo in the south up to almost Nazareth in the north. And in that valley, there was a stronghold of the Canaanites. And if we go back and see why the Canaanites had such a hold, in chapter 2 we would read that God had given the Canaanites, in particular Jabin, who was the king of the Canaanites, he'd given them control over Israel in order to punish Israel for their disobedience and in order to teach Israel lessons. And so Israel was about to learn one of these lessons because Canaan oppressed Israel for 20 years. Jabin had a general by the name of Sisera who would come down and work terror upon the children of Israel, come into their villages, plunder them, and he would do wrongfully by the wives and by the young women in the villages. It was a terrible situation. And finally, the people cried to the Lord. They wanted deliverance. So I'd like to think about four things in connection with this song and in advance of this song. First of all, there was the enemy. Secondly, there was the deliverer. Thirdly, there was the war itself. And finally, this song of victory. Well, what about the enemy? The enemy was Jabin. He was clearly an evil man. And Sisera was a cruel man who would carry out his wishes. They would remind us that we too have enemies. We have an enemy in Satan, who is the enemy of our souls, who would desire to keep people away from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, who would desire to keep us from being an active influence for the Lord, who would desire to fill our minds and our lives with things that would occupy us so that we would be of no value for the Lord, to keep our hearts so directed to the things of this life that we would have no praise in our hearts, no worship in our hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ. That enemy who motivated Jabin and motivated Sisera is here today, and he works even in the world around us, and he works even within our hearts to destroy our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. The people of Israel lived in fear. They didn't know the next time that there would be a raiding party come to their village, the next time they would be plundered again. I wonder if there are believers and we live in fear as well. We'd like to be a great outreach. We'd like to be an active testimony for the Lord, but you know, there's those difficulties in the workplace. There's those people who speak against us and ridicule us. And maybe we react with fear to those situations. We're not ready to open our mouths when we should. That enemy is there. He brought fear to these people, and he can bring fear to us as well if we allow it to happen. So now what about the deliverer? The deliverer was not as you would expect. You know, Israel had cried for deliverers, and God gave them Moses. God gave them many men who were mighty men who could lead the people. But in this day, there was no man to lead the people of Israel. There was no man who would step forward and say, I'm going to correct this situation. I'm going to rise up against the Canaanites and to fight on behalf of Israel against them. But there was a woman, Deborah by name. She dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah. She was well known. A palm tree maybe speaks to us of her righteousness, because the palm tree, as you'll know, is so straight and tall, and it speaks of something that's upright. And she was an upright woman. She told the truth as she saw it. She was also a prophetess. That is, the word of God came to her, and she communicated the word of God to those who came into her presence and asked. Now, this is not suggesting that she was doing something that should become the practice and applied throughout the ages. Some may go back to this and say, well, Deborah spoke in public, shouldn't women speak in public? No, that's not what Scripture teaches, and that's not a New Testament practice. But God allowed Deborah to rise up for this particular point in time because there wasn't a man who had the commitment, who had the courage to stand up. And Deborah was spoken to by the Lord, and she knew that this man, Barak, had been spoken to by the Lord about the situation. He was thinking about it, but he lacked the courage. And so Deborah, she speaks to Balak, or Barak rather, and verse 14 of chapter 4, and Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thy hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him. Well, how did they get 10,000 men? First of all, the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali supplied many soldiers because those tribes were very affected by the Canaanites. There was nothing that they would have liked more than to have the Canaanites defeated and to have that threat of being raided taken away. And so they were ready to supply men. But it seems as though a call went out throughout all of Israel, except perhaps to Judah and Simeon. And all of the tribes were invited to send people to fight in the battle. And some sent people to fight in the battle, and some did not. Some rather stayed in their comfortable homes, and they didn't engage in the battle. And we'll see that when we come to the Song of Deborah. But they accumulated on the hill slope of Mount Tabor, 10,000 men. Must have been quite a sight to see 10,000 men gathered. And they were ready to engage in the battle. So there was a deliverer raised up. It was in the form of both a man and a woman in Deborah, who encouraged Barak to be active and engage in the battle. And Barak, with that encouragement, was ready to go into the battle and to lead the people. But now Barak was rather a demurring fellow. He wasn't the type of person who you would expect to be out in championing a cause like this. In fact, he said to Deborah, I'll go into the battle and lead the people if you come with me. He wanted Deborah to come with him and to give him strength and encouragement. Now Deborah had her own husband who wasn't ready to lead, but she told Barak that she would go with him into the battle. And perhaps that's why we have such a detailed account here in this song, that clearly Deborah has had a large role in authoring in chapter 5, because she saw, she experienced what went on in that battle. So the deliverer has been raised up. Now for you and I, our deliverer, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who has delivered us. He's the one who has given us salvation. He's the one who has called us to a particular work for himself. He's the one that will give us strength and courage to go forward. If we go forward in our own strength, then we'll fail. But he is the one who has promised to come with us in those challenges that we have in life, to be there, that, and we can call upon him whenever we feel our need of help. And we are needy. We need his presence every moment. And he will give us the victory when we rely on him. So Barak went forward, and he was there upon the side of Mount Tabor with all of these soldiers, 10,000 of them, and Deborah gave the word, now is the time to go forward. Why was it the time to go forward at that moment? Well, there was a man who was down in the valley, a man who was a Kenite by the name of Heber, related to Moses through his father-in-law. And Heber was watching what was going on. Perhaps he served as a spy for Sisera to see what was going on amongst the children of Israel. And he noticed that the children of Israel were amassing on the side of Mount Tabor. And he took the word and said to Sisera, the Israelites are getting prepared for war. And so Sisera came with his 900 chariots of iron and his many, many men, well armed, and they occupied the valley of Jezreel by the river Kishon. And there they prepared themselves for battle. Probably they were looking forward to this. They had all of the weapons. In Israel, there wasn't a sword amongst 40,000 men. I wonder how they armed themselves. We're not told how they armed themselves. But they prepared for the battle. And down into the valley they came against this well-armed, ferocious group of people in the valley that was waiting for them. The valley would have been an ideal place for iron chariots. It seemed as though everything was in the favor of the Canaanites. But they didn't have God on their side. The Israelites had God on their side. And as the army started coming down Mount Tabor, the rain started to fall. Intense rain. Rain that caused the river Kishon to flood its banks. And those iron chariots and the horses and all of the things that were assets to the Canaanites were of no use. In fact, they held them back. They were unable to use them and fight against the Israelites because God was in control. This wasn't a battle of the Israelites. This was God's battle. It was the Lord's battle. And he used those circumstances to bring the thoughts and the strengths and the wisdom of the Canaanites to nothing. And when the Lord is on our side, we can have that confidence that the wisdom and the strength of the enemy will be brought to nothing, because the Lord is able to use whatever circumstance to put whatever thought in the minds of men that he has to put into the minds of men in order to gain the victory and to bring glory to himself. And that's what happened on this day. The Canaanites were completely routed. They were put to death. It says that there was not one of the Canaanites escaped. The Israelites followed them and chased them until they brought them to utter destruction. Finally, we have the song of Deborah. Deborah here is thinking about who has assisted, and Barak is also thinking about who has assisted in this battle. First of all, in verse 12, she says, "Awake, awake, Deborah. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive. He has been the victor. He has been the conqueror. And now," she says, "lead thy captivity captive." Remember the Lord Jesus Christ? He led captivity captive. And here she's calling on Barak to lead captivity captive. And then in verse 14, she says, they say, "Out of Ephraim was there a root of them against Amalek." So Ephraim had its battles with Amalek. And when the call came, who is going to help? Who is going to serve? Ephraim was there and ready to serve. Ephraim, his name means fruitful. And he was ready to provide his services, ready to provide his help to every part of Israel, to anyone who needed it. I wonder, as if we look at the difficulties and battles that are in the lives of individual believers, the battles and challenges that are in the lives of an assembly who tries to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, I wonder if we're fruitful, if we're ready to help out in every situation and every circumstance that arises. Ephraim was fruitful. The blessings that he had, he was ready to pass on to others. And so Ephraim is singled out here for praise. He had helped against Amalek, and they had been ready to help against the Canaanites. Then Benjamin was also helpful. He was among the people. The people of the tribe of Benjamin were known for some of their fierce and cruel actions. But these people were ready to come and to be submissive to the leadership of Barak as he went into battle. And they were ready to follow and to work to obtain this victory. And so this one who was called the son of my right hand by Jacob was one whose descendants were ready to do battle on this day. And then it says, out of Machir came down governors. This would be the tribe of Manasseh, most likely. And the governors came, and they were ready to engage in the battle. Think of that. The leaders were serious enough to get engaged in the battle. And so this one who was Joseph's oldest son would not forget the circumstances of the past. His name means to forget toil. But he's not forgetting his obligations to the others within Israel. Israel at this point in time was a loose confederacy, recognizing God as their God, but having no other authority that would bring them together as a united kingdom. And so as a loose confederacy, these tribes could likely either engage or not engage. But Deborah and Barak were watching. Record was being kept. And we might think that, well, we're independent. We're part of an assembly, but we can do whatever we like. We can choose to spend our time the way we wish. And there may be assembly activities. There may be assembly witnesses that are going on. We can think of gospel meetings that were held just several months ago. How did we engage? Were we there and ready to help and participate? I speak to my own heart. But here, the people from Manasseh, even the leaders were there and were ready to participate in the battle. And then it says, out of Zebulun, they that handle the pen of the writer. Interesting that the people who were writers were recognized here. Zebulun seemed to be a well-educated group of people. They were engaged in commerce. The major trade route ran through the tribe of Zebulun, but they engaged in the battle. And then it says the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar and also Barak. Barak was from Naphtali, and they were sent on foot into the valley. So here were ones who were shown to be devoted and committed, and down into the valley they went. Zebulun, it says of him, O Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, experts in war, with all instruments of war. And in a future day, from this particular reading, it says 50,000 who could keep rank. They were not of double heart. So what are the criteria for people who are effective in the battle? They are people who can keep rank, and they are not of double heart. That is, they have a single purpose and focus before them, and they take their position that's necessary in order to engage. They don't want a higher position. They don't demur when responsibility is given to them. They take it and go forward with it. And so they were ready and good followers and good participants in the battle. But in contrast to this, we have the divisions of Reuben. There were great thoughts of heart. My, what Reuben would have liked to have done. He would have liked to have done such great things for the people of Israel. But in the end, he abode among the sheepfolds. And Deborah and Barak asked, why did he abode there? For the great divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Does that ever apply to you and me when it comes to activities in the assembly or doing something for the Lord? Yes, we have great searchings of heart. We really would want to do something, and we spend a lot of time thinking about it. And yes, there's examination, and are we ready yet to do something? Is this the time? And then things pass by, the opportunity passes, and nothing is done. Searchings of heart, but no commitment. What a contrast to Zebulun. Zebulun had a commitment, and when the opportunity came, he acted upon it. But now Reuben was not the only tribe where there was a problem. Gilead or Gad abode beyond Jordan. They wanted to be beyond Jordan, and like Reuben did. Reuben wanted to be beyond Jordan so that they could keep their flocks on the east side of the Jordan, unwilling to cross over and fight for their people as they had promised to do. And Gilead also, or Gad also, was beyond Jordan. And then questions are asked about Dan. Why did he remain in ships? He was, at this point in time, he was a maritime tribe and had ships. Could have come to the battle. It wouldn't have been very far away. Just cross over Mount Carmel. But no, he stayed in ships. And maybe there's a problem with Dan's motivation, because we find that he is the one who brings cult worship into Israel, particularly into the northern tribes. And maybe this was even affecting his commitment at this point in time. Could that be something within our hearts? Is it possible that there would be a diversion of interest to something that was not according to God's word, and that's what keeps us from engaging in the battle? That seems to be what kept Dan back. Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breaches. He hid in the inlets. And then there were Zebulun and Naphtali. Again, it says they jeopardized their lives unto the death in the high places of the fields. Here were people who hazard their lives just as the apostles did. They hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much are we willing to give in our service for the Lord? Are we willing to hazard our lives? As far as Zebulun and Naphtali were concerned, they jeopardized their lives unto the death in the high places. And so we find that the kings came and fought against the kings of Canaan. They took no gain for money. There were no spoils assigned to them. They weren't looking for money. They were wanting to secure the land for Israel. They were wanting to glorify God. And then just quickly, it says, Kirjathaim arose. This seemed to be a town or a city which was strategically located. And they could have intervened and stopped the escape of the Canaanites. They could have intervened and helped the Israelites in their battle. But no, they didn't want to engage. They looked upon it as a neutral thing. They kept to themselves. They wouldn't help. They wouldn't commit themselves. They wouldn't even comment. They came not to the help of the Lord against the mighty. But then there was one woman who helped. Interesting, Heber had been the person who had said the children of Israel are amassing and ready to battle. Jael was the wife of Heber. And maybe Sisera thought, well, I'll go to a place where I can find refuge. I'll go to the tent of Heber, Heber's wife. And he went to the tent. She invited him in. Instead of water, she gave him milk, gave him butter from a lordly dish. And then as he went to sleep, she put a nail through his temple. Who was it that secured the victory? Who was it that did away with the... Not Barak, not one of the mighty men of the army of Israel, but it was a woman. Deborah had said that Barak is mentioned because of his faith, his readiness to be obedient, and his readiness to go into the battle and lead people into the battle. I wonder if you and I, as we think about the judgment seat of Christ, if we're going to be recognized because we have been obedient to the Lord, we have responded to his call and the opportunities for service. We've gone forth with conviction and commitment in our hearts. We haven't held back because of fear. We've had faith, and that faith has been greater than the fear. Are we going to be standing and hearing his well done, good and faithful servant? Are we going to be standing and hearing why? Why? As Deborah asked of Dan, as Deborah asked of Gad, of Asher, and some of these other tribes. May God help us as we think about our need to provide service in the war that we're engaged in, the war against evil, in getting the gospel out, that we might have a commitment to serve our Lord and to honor him so that he might be glorified as he was glorified in this day by the children of Israel. Shall we pray?